It works for Cheesehead TV, writes for Cheesehead at TV. You can find his work there, and we're going to talk some Packer draft as they give you a Packer draft guide. Get everything you need to know about next Thursday's draft. Brian Carafu. I know Ted Thompson addressed the media earlier today, and this was kind of brought up. I'm sure Ted doesn't like to be drafting 32 from the standpoint of how much he likes the draft, but hell, you know what? There's no better position to be in than being at the end of the first round, because everybody knows what that means, right?
Yeah, I mean, you won the Super Bowl, and you know that it's what you want. I mean, you're not going to get the best player on the board. You know, you're not going to get a guy who's going to be just absolutely dominant, or probably won't be at least right away. You can always hit on a player that can be good later on. I mean, seen plenty of seventh rounders go on to be good pros, but you can't complain with being the 32nd pick, that's for sure.
What does Green Bay honestly need? I mean, what do they need to come away with after next weekend, filling some spots, filling some holes in their roster throughout the entire draft? It doesn't matter when they're drafted, but what positions do they need to go after in your estimation, Brian?
In my opinion, the Green Bay Packers need an outside linebacker to go opposite Clay Matthews. They've got guys who've done okay. You know, they kind of had a revolving door there last year with injuries. They had Frank Zombo. They had Brad Jones. They had Eric Walden. And they played okay in spurts. But I think if you can get a good guy, a good 3-4 outside linebacker, they can be very productive in that defense. I mean, you see what the guys from Pittsburgh do year in and year out. That can be a very productive position. So I think that, you know, they could use some help there. And especially if Clay Matthews, oh my goodness, they'd be in a world of trouble at that position. They could also use some help on the offensive line. Darren College is a free agent. You don't know what he's going to do, and you just can never have enough people. Chad Clifton and Mark Tauscher are both, you know, kind of, you know, closer to the end than they are at the beginning. So you can never have enough offensive linemen, in my opinion. So if they were to take two of them even in this draft, I wouldn't be averse to seeing that.
Do they have a little bit of flexibility when you look at tackles for the future? Because they drafted Bulaga to essentially be their left tackle of the future. He moved over to the right side. He was obviously effective last year at that spot, staying in there. So now you can either move Bulaga or draft a guy. I mean, is there one way to go? What do you think they do with Bulaga, Brian?
It's very interesting. I'm not entirely sure he's the tackle of the future. He could be. I'm just not convinced of it yet. But I mean, that's why if you get a good offensive lineman, I don't care what position it's at, you just kind of find a guy, and there's so many guys out there. If, you know, you just take a look at that 32nd pick, a guy who could be around as Danny Watkins from Baylor. You know, he played tackle, left tackle in college. There's thoughts that he could be a guard in the pros, could even play right tackle. So, I mean, a lot of these guys, you grab them and you see where they fit in later. So, you know, the Packers are just going to try to accumulate good players and get as many good ones as they can and see where they fit at some future point in time.
We're chatting with Brian Carafu, Cheesehead TV, cheeseheadtv.com. You can read his work there. They got their Packers draft guide, the Cheesehead TV draft guide, all things Packers you need. Brian joining us here on AM 1570, 95.3 FM, The Score. Does this year's draft, maybe that best player available philosophy, does that even hold more water now that we know free agency isn't going to happen beforehand? Ted doesn't dabble in free agency, but you know what? You're still going to have that opportunity to fill some needs later. Do you think this is going to be maybe a philosophy more teams will take in this year's draft?
I suppose I would guess it would be the opposite for some other teams. I mean, based upon what we've seen from the Packers, they're going to go best player available no matter what. And being that they have a fairly deep team already, they don't need to fill a lot of holes. But without free agency, I think you're going to see teams more so than usual, perhaps not a lot, but more so than usual, trying to draft for need. There's a lot of teams out there that need quarterbacks right now. So they're going to be probably, you know, stretching, perhaps drafting a quarterback back maybe higher than they normally would, or perhaps trading up to get a quarterback they want. I mean, you just look at our division foes to the west, the Minnesota Vikings. They need a quarterback, and they got to get it in the draft almost to make sure they have one for this upcoming season.
And just with those reasons that you say, I have this vision of sitting there throughout the entire draft night, 32's on the board, it's the Green Bay Packers, and then somebody else's logo goes up there because of all these quarterbacks that are up there, somebody else's team. It's almost like Green Bay sitting in that prime position because, you know, the depth of this draft from about 20 to 45 is so equal, you can drop back a few spots, maybe with an Arizona, maybe with a Cincinnati, and still get a guy you're targeting because of the people that are going to be moving forward. For the quarterbacks, I mean, Green Bay's obviously sitting in the best place because, as we mentioned before, Brian, they won the Super Bowl, but there's so many different things that they can do, it's hard to pinpoint it right now.
Exactly. I mean, it would not surprise me whatsoever to see the Packers move back because of those needs of other teams. If some team wants to grab their quarterback of the future, the Packers would probably be glad to have an extra second rounder. Not that they need it, but I mean, you know, it's not going to be probably a huge deal for them as long as they're getting a decent value for their trade. And if there's somebody they really love, if they have 9 picks this year, I could see them moving up as well.
Well, let's get right back to it, too. And as we continue talking NFL draft, Packers draft with Brian Caravu, Cheesehead TV. Brian, the NFC North teams, I know you hit earlier, we were talking about the Minnesota Vikings and quarterback, obviously a big need for them. Anything else stand out to you about them that they could address in this draft and the other NFC North foes, the Chicago Bears? And I'm still saying I think the Detroit Lions are going to be the surprise team of this upcoming season, if it's played, of course.
Yeah, I agree. I like the direction the Lions are going. They had some good picks last year with Ndamukong Suh and their running back there. They need help on defense now, though. Last year, they showed they have a pretty good offense, and especially if Matthew Stafford is healthy there. Now they need help in the back seven at outside linebacker and cornerback. So. Those could be some positions they address in the early rounds. As for the Vikings, besides quarterback, they could go cornerback. They could go defensive tackle, some positions there. And the Chicago Bears, they need help on the offensive line. That's been an Achilles heel for them for a while. They need somebody to protect the quarterback there in Chicago.
Man, we could be looking at J.J. Watt as a Viking or a Lion and Gabe Kirimi as a Bear. That would almost be like a bad scenario for us here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that'll be tough for Wisconsin fans who, all things being equal, I'm sure they'd like to see him on the Packers, but just not looking like that's going to happen. Those guys are going to come off the board before number 32.
Brian, draft pick-wise, I know we talked about some of the positions they need. Where does returner sit on your list?
That's high for me. I think the Green Bay Packers need a return specialist. Some people have made the argument there's going to be these rule changes to kickoff returns next year being moved up, so the kick return is going to be less valuable. But you know what? Punt returns, nothing's changed. Punt returns are still going to be the same, and I don't think they're going to want Tremont Williams, a Pro Bowl player, back there next year returning punts. So I think the Packers got to find somebody in this draft to do that. I don't know if it's done in the first round, but somewhere along the line, I think they need somebody that could, perhaps be, a third, fourth, fifth wide receiver, but also impact the game on returns.
We're talking with Brian Caravu, CheeseheadTV.com. Read his work there. Brian joining us for a couple more minutes, a few more draft things to get to here on the Score. I mentioned there with Kirimi and Watt, too, Brian. First-round guys, obviously, and I know I mentioned Minnesota and Chicago maybe, but take us through a little bit each of those guys and maybe a couple of destinations you could see them guys heading, because I know you follow them, too, with your draft guide at Cheesehead TV.
Oh, yeah. I think J.J. Watt will go fairly early in the draft. I think he's a very versatile player. I think he could fit into a 4-3 system or a 3-4. So, you know, he has value to almost every team in the NFL, and because of that, I think he'll go in the top half of the first round. Now, a guy like Gabe Kareemi, also, you know, a guy who's going to come off the board before the Packers pick, more than likely, at least that's my opinion. I was kind of down on Gabe Kareemi prior to his senior year, but I thought he really stepped it up in 2010. And he's a mauler. He's obviously, they've had a good run game at the University of Wisconsin, and he's going to be able to, you know, open some holes for whoever drafts him. Probably somewhere in the 20 range, 20s. I see Gabe Kareemi coming off the board between 20 and 29, somewhere around there. But the Badgers also have a couple other good prospects as well. John Moffitt, a guard, I think he's a second-day draft choice, and tight end Lance Kendricks, I think he's a second-day draft choice as well.
You go back to all those Badger guys, too, especially on the offensive side with Kareemi, Moffitt, and Kendricks. They play a pro style of offense at Wisconsin, and with the spread offense being as prevalent as it is, I mean, you just look at those guys, that transition has to be a little bit easier for them. And an offensive lineman that's played a pro style offense, a transition's got to be easier. That has to put them above some of the other guys maybe coming out of those Big 12 ACC schools that just like to chuck it around the board. I don't know if you see it that way or not, Brian.
No, absolutely. And the Badgers themselves, they like to mention that. I had attended Wisconsin Pro Day. I attended the NFL Combine. And when they're asked questions about, you know, where they fit in the NFL, that they will point out that, hey, I played in a pro-style offense at Wisconsin, and that's going to make me better than the next guy, better than whoever else you're considering. So, you know, they kind of do a pretty good job at pumping themselves up and, you know, selling themselves to the team. So, absolutely, I think it can help them. They like to point that out as well.
Brian, you mentioned the kid out of Baylor there. Lastly, give us a few other names that we could be seeing heading to Green Bay come draft day a week from today and about, what, 8 hours from now at midnight when the Packers finally pick?
Yeah, so exactly 1 week away it's getting started. Some of the names, I think Danny Watkins of Baylor is one to keep an eye on, names that I see that I think will come off the board right around when the Packers pick will be Cameron Hayward, a defensive lineman from Ohio State, also Akeem Ayers of UCLA, an outside linebacker. Those would kind of be my top targets. Like I said, nothing would surprise me at all, but those are a couple names I see, you know, popping up around that spot by a lot of draft experts as well.
And, Brian, we've been talking about that Packers draft guide, cheeseheadtv.com. What will our listeners find there?
Yeah, just go to cheeseheadtv.com. Right on our homepage, you'll see a link to buy our draft guide. It's what it is it's a digital draft guide, fully digital, and you're not going to find a print edition, so you can read it right on your iPhone, iPad, or, you know, just on your PC or laptop. And what we tried to do is create a draft guide catered specifically to Packer fans. The prospects are broken down by what the Packers need. They run a 3-4 defense, so you're going to see them broken into 3-4 outside linebackers, 3-4 inside linebackers. You don't see that in a lot of publications, so it's really catered specifically to Packer fans that I think they'll like.
Brian, enjoy chatting with you again, and let's do it again once all this stuff becomes official and take a look at that draft class, all right?
Sounds good. Anytime.